So in this form and walking form and even the sitting form, you know, there's attention and awareness. So attention locates an object, sight, sound, thought, mood, whatever, discrete thing, that's attention, and what we give attention to is energized by that. Awareness is the experience of opening, cooling, dispassion. So at this time particularly I'm kind of encouraging or inviting to use more awareness than attention in a way that the game is what your attention stays on, just to gently unhook from that, let your awareness widen, soften. So you have a thought, for example, rather than quarreling with the thought or adding more to it or reacting to it, just note there's a thought, however silly it is or nondescript or unpleasant or improper. And widen, soften your awareness around that. The sound of it, the feel of it, the energy of it. These are the things you take in, you receive as your awareness widens. It's not just the object, but you begin to sense, oh, there's the energy of it, the feeling of it, the movement around it, and subtler experiences. You keep widening, softening, till the experience of the thought begins to almost dissolve. Just as if you take a grain of salt and put it on your tongue, it's very salty. And then if you take a sip of water without moving the salt off your tongue, the water dissolves that without the salt disappearing. It's because of the widening effect. What's the feeling? If there's any kind of feeling quality or heart quality in that sense of softening, widening, opening. We're not really excluding anything. We're just not hooking onto anything. So I'd like to hear some voices and to speak from your truth. So sometimes it can be a little, even a bit mysterious to oneself, but what seems important, how is all that, what happens in awareness, what is that, and what kind of things are experienced or felt or noted within that. I'd be interested to hear. Yeah. Great relief. Relief. A tender, yeah. Yeah. I feel the conundrum. How to operate in the world with open awareness, open, aimless, undirected awareness, free of tyrannies. Yeah, well, that's the question, isn't it? And maybe we'll get to the question. It's of course one of the big questions, but we'll just let it hover there. So naturally, when one opens, there's a sense of relief, tenderness, and also how's this going to work? The question arises. Yeah, the question arises from that. Repetitious things. So the attention then went into something quite obsessive, would you say? You opened up and then this thing kicked in where you got into, the mind moved into obsessive thoughts. So noticing, as you open that, there's an inability to sustain that openness. So that something seeks something to hold on to. Something good, and if you find something good, well, something not so good will do. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? So you notice the instinctive movement towards security, you could say, something to hold to. This is not personal, this is very universal. Remember, whatever we're experiencing at this level is very universal. So, you know, don't make a personal issue out of it. You know, obviously it has personal flavouring, but that's very universal experience. And you know, it's like everything else, like riding a bike, learning to swim. It's a new territory because we're normally so hooked in. So naturally anything new, mind's not going to take to it immediately, perhaps. Sometimes it does. Sometimes people just start swimming. But it's quite, so you just have to, okay, then you use, okay, we'll use the breathing or something else to calm, steady the system. So it doesn't just go into, you know, negative or obstructive patterns. And then you calm with that, and then you can, okay, what happens if in that sense of calm can open a little bit, practicing it. Until it needs the support. Magic, sense of magic. Mm-hmm. Magic, yeah, because it's clear of, you know, it's a bit like, to me, there's something almost childlike about it, because when you're a child, everything's kind of magical, because you don't know what it is, you haven't saturated it with all these, it's one of those, oh yeah, you know, with their drive, so it's just, there's freshness. Magical quality. Wonder. Being a tourist. Seeing things with new eyes, yeah. No, you don't really run away. As if it's unpleasant, no, unpleasant, soften, widen around unpleasant. So things are not unpleasant or pleasant, they're just, I've kind of done this on retreats, and people end up staring at mops, you know. Never really seen the beauty of a mop before. Oh, kind of rust and cobwebs in corners. Wow, look at that. So it went into more of the mental sphere, the sanya, the perception, into the associated perceptions. Whole story. Yeah. Yeah. So exactly, it's if something triggers and our conditioning starts to speak and open up. And again, we stay with that, let it speak to us, you know, listen through it. Right, yeah, so you get often the tiredness is quite really normal. Because it's like you begin to sense just how overcharged your nervous system is. And then suddenly with no pressure, you know, you get the bill comes in. Just how overcharged the mind is, and how pushed it is. Is it always being pushed? Do this, do that, get on, get the next. And then switch that off. Sometimes it just kind of collapses because it's exhausted. It doesn't want to do anything. You know, so you often get, it's kind of in the limbic system. It's not even like a personal thing, it's just this system in the brain which is picking up all the data from outside and trying to moderate that in terms of what's for my well-being. Yeah, so it's like the meeting place of the external and the internal. Yeah, so the external stuff is the sounds and sights, and the internal is how am I feeling with that. So you've got this kind of thing. And now what you're doing is you're putting 50 times too much information from the outside and not much coming from the inside. In other words, there's not much of a signal going, encouraging you to find out what's really for my well-being internally. Yeah. So the thing is completely out of kilter. So we're getting a lot of stuff coming from the outside, including thoughts telling us, and really the inner listening is subdued in daily life. So you have a huge imbalance. Too much stuff going in that hasn't really been digested. So suddenly you come in and then you begin to switch off the externals. There's no lot to do. There's nothing particularly to go to. There's no sights, no television, nothing much to think about. And the thing rocks around because before it was operating on a huge amount of input and not much introspection. Now it's the other way around. It rocks around, and the basic reaction to that is sleep until it's settled by itself. You know, it's like it's not a decision; it's a neurological reaction. That why we sleep, why do we sleep? It's because it's a place where there's no compulsion. When you sleep, there's nothing you have to do. You don't have to process anything. So it allows that system to just discharge, right? Because there's no responsibility in sleep. So there's no sense of having to get this thing working. So it allows the system to discharge. So then that some of that overload can be addressed. Of course, as it is, for most people it isn't fully addressed. You can't just sleep it off. But that's what the instinctive thing to do to discharge is just so we have to kind of, you know, bear with that. And certainly opening and widening and softening is another way of discharging. You open and widen, and then you can it's another way of discharging, because there's no particular thing to do, there's no particular object to hold, there's nothing you've got to figure out. So it's almost like a waking sleep. If it's not sleep, it's because it's very awake. But it's how to rest and discharge while being awake, you know. So that's kind of part of it, really. Why it's called sometimes experienced as a relief. And naturally, it doesn't happen like a finger snap. You have to sort of, you know, hang in there for a while, and maybe just use enough attention to hold yourself up or walk. You know, just minimal. Just enough to hold stability and let the process of the neurological process find its redress itself. She's asking one of experience is that on retreats getting ill, is it because somehow in that process of stuff being released, that there's, apart from the sleepiness, there's also something toxic happening, or in the energy channels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Depends what the illness is, but, you know, why are we generally encouraged some body work to keep the energy channels opening, because again they will tend to close down. It's a way of shutting things off, isn't it? Is that how you sense it? It's a way of those things close things down, closes the body down. And so things like Qigong and so forth, done gently, not aggressively, as a way of softening, keeping things open. And using the breathing. Breathing is healing, and awareness is healing. Now some sicknesses are actually almost symptoms that you need to allow things to, you know, the illness is not the symptom. The symptom is just the body's response to the illness. So if we kind of stay awake through that and don't close down on it, the symptom can move through and you feel it clears, something clears. A bit like sleepiness, you know. If you can stay open to it, it will gradually clear, the energy will adapt itself and you're clear. Yeah, that's it. It's just processing, you know, various stuff comes up, and then as that clears, something else comes up. You clear. And it's always, not always, but generally what arises, you have to allow things to arise before they can pass. Sometimes we quite like them to pass before they arise. But it doesn't quite work like that. When they arise, they can be, oh dear, something's going wrong, you know, something's going wrong. Because we want to be steady state, you know, optimal and steady state. Well, no, that doesn't happen until you cleared, which means you have to allow things to rise. Stay open to it, because it will tend to ask you to close. And you're aware, you have to follow awareness rather than these more instinctive reactions. To close down or get agitated, you follow awareness, and that's always kind of opening, allowing a process to unfold, where it's curious, confusing, you know, destabilizing, and stay open to that, let it breathing through it, staying in touch with your body, staying connected, which is very important. And gradually it dissolves, moves through. And there could be, you know, I don't know what emotional tones people experience, relief, magic, wonder.
And
so, yeah, okay, so there's some sort of tenderness, poignant, tender, and that being actually helpful, like a healing or a clearing process. Useful sadness. That's a question, isn't it? Perhaps we could just okay, can you kind of make a note of that? So I'd like to answer questions, but I'd like first of all just to continue with a bit of a sharing of the experience. Equanimity, in a way, is the full, open, tender extension of awareness. But we'll get back to that. Don't remind me of it if I've forgotten. You get some understanding is what happens. So there's some. So awareness is associated with the ability to see things more clearly and release difficulty, and therefore feel happier. Did you say that? So you have these emotional currents, happy, unhappy, but then something else is present other than just those emotions. Well, you have the emotions of happy, unhappy, but also you have something that goes, well, it doesn't matter, happy, unhappy.
Yeah, why is that?
Interesting. Thank you. Yeah, there's some really important. And again, this is, even though it's your own personal story, it's also very universal. That's the thing. That's why nobody's surprised, because it's totally universal. You know, we come to control systems, trying to control our lives, and the amount of anger that comes up. You know, and then the tiredness. And then if you just stay with that, there's a kind of bit of a breakdown almost. And then you think, oh, it's all right. You know, and what we're kind of encouraging here is the idea that you have to make connection. No, you don't. You're already connected. It's just your personality's not connected. You know. But here we're encouraging something more universal, human, where you don't have to know anybody as a person. You can still relate to their fear, their happiness, their anger, their whatever. It's just universal stuff in the silence. So a great relief to not have to be a person all the time. Anybody else? Everything's normal. Just as you're getting a wider understanding of what normal means, it's, nothing's regular. Nothing's regular. Nothing's predictable. Things aren't. We're not logical. We're not. You know, the same every day. It's irregular, it's chaotic, it's strong energies pass through, you know, suddenly you've got a lot of stuff happening, then there's nothing happening, and then you feel sense of joy, and then you feel a sense of grief, and then sometimes it goes quiet. That's normal. And so dream stuff is just things being unloaded, you know, being imagery, perceptions being unloaded, being discharged. Things only get discharged through being made conscious. Days?
Weeks? Months?
Years? Lifetimes? Who knows? You never know quite what's under the lid, really. Lovely. So one of the qualities of increased awareness is humour, because, you know, whereas before we were really gripped and trying to make things work, and you widen and soften, you think, it's one of the experiences of humour, because you, it's like comedy is when you see tragedy in perspective. It's just, well, there it is, it comes and goes, you know, and you're not so locked into it. So humour, and it can be joyful. Sometimes sadness is also part of what can happen. You know, like a tenderness, which can manifest as a sort of sadness or teariness, or also love. You get a quality of loving, which is not about affection so much as just the really compassionate holding. I don't know. That's one of the qualities that seems to come up. And that's partly what equanimity is. Holding space. Holding the space open through whatever. Okay, let's pause there for now. Thank you, thank you. So, I suggested equanimity is very powerful and cultivation, because it's the ability to hold the space open, feel it. So sometimes with awareness, the thing that is not entirely acknowledged is the quality of like the lightness, the openness, and the kind of equanimity, which is the ability to receive all kinds of felt impressions. So sometimes the impressions are just sights and sounds and touches. Sometimes the impressions are more like memories, or angers, irritations, feelings of sadness or guilt. These can also be coming up. Maybe those are things that happen. It's not always so easy to talk about. Now, equanimity, as we stay in open awareness, feeling that, feeling the pleasure, pain, feeling the tug and pull of that, and we don't resist it, and we don't see it even as a problem. You see it as something you want to encourage, because you have the understanding this is the way it's going to work itself out. So equanimity is grown through insight. It gradually grows as we get less scared of our demons and ghosts and less deluded by our fantasies and tempters. In this sense of now you can start to be open to, you know, some things that are more difficult. Because you've begun to, and it isn't something you can really just snap into, it grows. So you have to kind of cultivate it. And generally what will occur is you'll find yourself, in cultivating awareness, you'll find yourself at the edge of what you can manage. You know, just at the edge of what you can manage with a sense of, I don't know, is this okay? Maybe, yeah. But you can manage it. If you cultivate awareness, see, it's not pushing. It's not saying, get right in there and solve anything. So, because it's not going to pressure in it, it's just a gentle invitation. It's like, okay, anything you want to speak? And that invitation, if, you know, we're not demanding anything or really trying to sort anything out, it's quite a gentle invitation. And then that which needs to speak or express itself can arise. And it'll be this, perhaps, you know, it'll be something that maybe has got some difficulty to it. You know, it hasn't been able to arise before because normally we're driving too fast to hear it. Or we've got our control systems there making sure it doesn't happen almost instinctively. Or we're just too busy. So then you come into that place where you can sustain awareness, and naturally meditation is one tremendous focus on developing the kind of attention that will sustain awareness, because now we have become grounded, we have become ethically clear, we have become a certain amount of, you know, clarity around self-discipline, and so we have established that, and now we can open into awareness, and then this is where you begin to kind of clear, because things arise in that may be mysterious, not very comfortable, a little bit on the edge of myself, dear. And then touch it and you feel the feeling, don't go into the story, feel the feeling soft and wide and open around that. And that isn't a demand. That's not, you should do this. It's not a demand. Because if it's a demand, it won't work. It will be improper. But it's, so what's encouraged in there is a kind of quality of love. You know, it's a love which is expresses itself as trust. You'll be okay. We can do this. So trust, it's a love which is, you're big enough now, you're old enough now, you're ready now, you can do this. It's a very quiet, supportive, loving quality. It encourages us not to be reactive or frightened or think, oh, I shouldn't be this way, something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong, everything is normal. Everything is absolutely normal. But we didn't know what normal was before. We've been living in a fantasy. You know, thinking we were just separate units and the past is gone. You know, no, we're totally connected to our karma, to our actions, the results, to what we've lived in, to what this gentleman was talking about, you know, perceptions of school and the images that come up. They're still all there. Everything that's happened, unless you've processed it, is still there. Unless you've actually been conscious of it and allowed it to release, it's still there. I mean, not everything, but everything that really mattered and touched you and hurt you is still there unless you've been conscious of it, open to it, been aware of it, let it express itself and move. Now we don't push into that, but when you open awareness, you know, there's wonderful things and beautiful things, because of course we've also, we have a lot of beauty in us, we have a lot of ability to delight and joy and, you know, poignant, mind is wonderful, that's good to know. And there's just these bits, difficult bits stuck in there. So it's not all difficult, but there are difficult bits. So when you get the sense of mudita, the ability to enjoy and rejoice in the good, then the heart gets a little more courageous to open a little bit wider. We need the happiness, we need the joy, we need the self-respect, we need that quality of internal happiness to encourage the heart to be a little bit braver and to open. And from mudita we come to upekā, from rejoicing, from a sense of appreciation of what's good, then we have the capacity, the nourishment to also open up. And there's the invitation, you know. And then the practice is one of stay open, don't give up. Don't give up on yourself, don't doubt. There's nothing going wrong. Don't go into the stories, just the feeling. And the feelings are really generally quite feeling, or feeling tones, they're mental states, and you might experience things such as deep sadness or grief. You might experience some anger, rage. You might experience a sense of being lost or depressed or confused. You might experience these kind of tones of that. And then you're opening through that, so encouraging. And why, you know, the most appropriate, safest way to do this is just keeping awareness in your body, because then you've got that simple mooring post, so that some of these tides don't, you know, spin you out into all kinds of stories and reactions. So you just, if it's too, you do, you know, when it becomes, you see the mind, sometimes it will know, hey, I need some stability, and it will just go to, then fine, that's what it needs, you've got to follow it. Go and stabilize on the breath, sensations in the feet, standing, go to that. You don't push it, yeah. So the mind, it will know how much it can open, and you don't force it. And it's a, oh, right, okay, let's just breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Or you might in fact keep that quality, that sign there, so you're half in that, at the same time you're just opening. It's almost like the background, and you start to soften and open to that which arises. It's by no means all, you know, grim. Some of it's just silly little pieces. But essentially, because once we begin to unhook the control systems, then naturally, you know, all the rubbishy stuff kind of drifts in, and then this is a chance to clear it. And if you, you know, then it actually makes you a lot stronger, because when you can remain more equanimous with your own bits and pieces, then it's also, you know, this is where the world doesn't really hit you so hard anymore. Yeah. Your job, your politics, the whole thing. It's not that it's great, it's not that it's wonderful, it's not that it's all fine, but just you have a capacity to not get so impacted by it all. So, just to let that one float. Let's have a few moments standing. This afternoon we'll perhaps do a little bit of Qigong, and then perhaps also some stuff in a smaller group, smaller groups where you can kind of share it amongst yourselves. Okay, let's just do some standing, steadying through the feet and the upright position. Just bearing in mind your attention, first of all, just the simple outward form is the soles of your feet, and just checking the muscles in your body, your legs, soft, you're balanced, you're relaxing in your belly and across your chest, drop your shoulders, feel comfortable, take a few moments to let it find your way into the position. Whatever you can undo, or whatever muscles you can switch off, whether it's in your lips or your wrists, your toes, if you don't need it, switch it off. And then finding a really helpful focus for attention is the internal axis, the sense of balance, which is, you know, the sense of balance. So balance is how you stay stable, and there's no pressure, the internal sense of balance. That really helpful, though it's subtle, it's very helpful, because around that the rest of the body can relax and reorganize itself. Feeling your breathing, that's helpful. And there are, if you like, also psychological muscles, which the more of these we can switch off, So psychological muscles are things like got to do this, everybody else is doing it, I've got to do it, or it's supposed to be this way. These are the kind of things that we can be holding us in place for a lot of our lives. You know. So, okay, is it possible to stand because the body is standing? Doesn't matter how long, or and orient towards a feeling. How can this feel comfortable? And using it to free up restlessness or sleepiness. Simple form. So it's one of the features of all programs is to cause contraction. The body wants to contract. Yeah. And so we need to, helps if we acknowledge the space as an experience. So not just that something isn't there, something is there. So right in front of me, right in front, across front of my body, the skin, right in front, there is nothing obtrusive, nothing sticking in. There's no prison, there's no bars. It's open, it's free. Right in front of me is free and open. And I can open into that. That's agreeable. And behind me, nothing to be on guard against. What's behind me is free from intrusion, obstruction. Letting your skin and your muscles know that. And above the head is a free space all the way up. Beneath the feet, stability, connection, groundedness. So these reminders that the body never stands alone, it's always in something, and the something encouraging right now for a lot of the time is actually quite free. There's no tyrannies in space. conclude the session. So, it's coming back into the soles of your feet, simple physical presence. Move your legs a little, flex your knees. Coming back to home base, physicality. Just take a move around, check out, see you. Orient to the room, visual perspectives in the room. So now we'll take a break for the meal and get back at 1:30, so it's a little bit earlier, so we can have a useful afternoon before the retreat concludes.